and welcome to another episode of the Rayados Lightning Podcast. I'm your host, Eduardo Razo, and joining me as always is Patrick Meehan. Pat, how was your weekend?
Fine. It was fun watching Mexican soccer back.
Yeah, it was I kind of was hoping that, you know, part of me miss watching Monterrey. Just like, it's weird when they don't play on a Saturday. It's like, what do I do with my Saturday nights? but yeah, the reason why we're doing a podcast is just, let's talk about all the rumors that surfaced last week, because I didn't think we were going to do a podcast this week, but then so many rumors, so many players that were linked to Monterrey. And yeah, I think we had to talk about it before they played against Morelia, because, you know, next podcast we kind of want to focus on the game. So let's just get all these rumors out of the way and just talk about which ones we think will happen, which ones have some legs, because there's some that, all right, I don't think it's going to happen. And then there's some where, okay, they might happen. But let's get some out of the way. Let's start with Sebastián Vegas. Yeah, Vegas. And the Chileno, just like a couple of minutes ago, like not even before we started recording, he tweeted out that, what was the caption? I think just to translate, it's nice to be home or something like that. And then he had the yellow and red hearts on Twitter. So let's start there. I don't think that one's going to happen. I think he's going to stay with Morelia, because I think it was also reported that Morelia didn't want to give him up. They kind of need him. So it looks like he's going to stay. So, Pat, just give me your overall, like, now opinion on a transfer that's more than likely not going to happen.
Yeah. Like you said, he tweeted out just minutes ago. I really didn't really have an opinion on him as the player or anything. I just wanted to see him. I had to see more of him. And from what I read, he wanted more money. He wanted a lot of money. He wanted, I guess, to feel important in the team. And he probably didn't think he was going to get that with Monterrey. You know, I get it. But at the same time, if I have to choose between playing in Morelia or Monterrey, I'll choose Monterrey probably every day of the week, especially, you know, what this past months have told you. It's that Monterrey is a worldwide club, and mm-hmm. obviously Morelia is not that. But, you know, everybody has their choices, their decisions. It looks like a no from him to Monterrey, and I'm not really going to complain about it.
Yeah, because he would have got it. I don't think this year he would probably had to battle for playing time, because he can play on the left side, left back, and in the central defense. And so he could have just waited out this year, because Vagnoni's contract runs after June, or after the season's over. And as of right now, I've not read any like news on the club extending Vagnoni. So if this was going to be the end of the line for Vagnoni, he would have taken over the left back role full time starting in the Apertura 2020. But like you said, it looks like he wants to feel important and have more money. And it looks like Morelia is probably going to give him that. I don't think he would have tweeted that out if he was intending on leaving. So it's going to be fun, or interesting, I should say, when Morelia plays Monterrey on Saturday night. Let's move on to, unless you have anything else to add on that front, Pat, before we move on to the next transfer rumor that came up actually today.
No, we can go to the next one.
So this one came out of left field today. Like I never heard of this rumor. There was like no gas to it, but apparently they were, Independiente's Gaston Silva was linked to Monterrey today. Like, just this news just kind of surfaced out today, but it kind of died quickly, because it looks like if he's going to leave Argentina, it's probably going to be for the MLS. There's a report that he's considering an offer from DC United. So I don't know what to make of this rumor, just because it ended so quickly. But Pat, if you have any just the overall opinions on this rumor that surfaced today.
Yeah, I actually saw information on both sides. Somebody saying it's only this United, and then some also said Monterrey. I don't know who to trust on this one. I know a couple of Independiente reporters who are, good with Independiente, and they're always right and all that. But, they both have different versions, the two that I know, the two that I follow. So I think it's a tricky situation. But, I don't know. If he comes, he'll definitely be a good guy to get there, just because he's exactly what they're looking for, what the executives are looking for, and he's good tactically and all that. But he's also not the best, technical wise. Like, he doesn't look good looking it, in a way. Like, Nico Sanchez is always looks kind of clumsy. He's also that type of player. So, it looked like it died down quick. We'll see what happens. What I do know is Independiente is going to sell him, or at least some players, because they're in need of some cash. So we'll see what happens with that one. If he comes, he'll definitely be welcome, just like Sebastian Vegas was, because we need a central defender.
Yeah, no, we do. And I guess let's just transition over to the rumors where, okay, this one might become true. And let's just get this one out of the way, because this one is the one that is generating the most interest, and that's Ramiro Funes Mori, who we talked about last week, but I was just more on the speculation, just because there's been interest in the past, but this window, I didn't read anything new on it. And then this past week, I started seeing news saying that Monterrey was still interested, and Turco was interested. I know we saw like reports from TYC, which is out in Argentina. I'm not sure if it's Turco like saying that he's interested, like if it's like something that was just caught on video that he's interested, or if it was just a reporter doing, just asking the question. But either way, I think he's interested in him, or the club is still interested in him. And it looks like he's option number one. From what I think I saw a tweet today that said that he's the first choice for Monterrey to try and fill that central defender role. And so what do you think about the potential? And you know what? I got to give this credit to our own Pam. She sent us in our little group chat. She said, we're not going to reveal the source, but she told us the source, because last week too, she said, or she tweeted out, or she reported, let's just say it like that. She reported that Monterrey was going to have like how would you say it? If you follow European soccer, this is a common practice where the club has a handshake agreement that they'll pay the fee, or they'll pay the fee and then they'll get the player in the summer. It kind of feels like that's what's going to happen, at least from what Pam tweeted out. But yeah, what's your take on the potential arrival of Ramiro Funes Mori?
Yeah, like you said, Pam said it, and she doesn't usually like give out news and all that, so you can I don't know, that makes you think sometimes that, yeah, they know something, that in this case she knows something that is for sure true, or at least from what she's been told. And when it happened, when it was said, they asked him about that in TYC Sports. He was in a in a show and all that, and he said, yeah, he was an option, but it looks like Sebastian Vegas already done. So that means, in this case, Sebastian Vegas is not there anymore. So that means, Funes Mori is still an option. So we'll see how that one goes, because if all is said like it is, it's a pre-contract. So he'll arrive in the summer. So that means, if that's what it is, nobody will come in this window, because you're not going to spend for one big central defender now, mm-hmm. if you already have somebody for the summer, I guess.
Yeah. And I think I'll just ask, do you think that's the right move, to just have a handshake agreement that he will come in the summer rather than having him or having a player now in the winter?
Yeah, they can also maybe, you know, they have a pre-agreement. So now what they can do is be like, you know what, how about we just make an agreement instead of just a pre-agreement? I guess they can do that. Yeah, we'll see
I was going to say, he's not playing that much for Villarreal. I guess he's a sporadic rotational player right now. He's not playing, you know, he's not the number one, number two, or number three. I don't even think he's the number three choice there. And so, I mean, he's 28, going on 29. And, you know, he still has about two years, maybe 3 years of prime years left in his career. I don't know how ideal it is for him to like say, okay, yeah, well, I'll wait for the next season to join you guys and play key and important minutes for a club. I just don't see how. I'm just thinking from the player. Maybe from the club, it's probably a different perspective. I'm just thinking from a player, how, not gonna say smart or just an ideal situation for him to wait another couple more months to make a move.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of situations because if he comes right now, he'll, you know, you give him minutes for sure. But who do you sit? Nico Sanchez or Cesar Montes? They're both playing nice. Mm-hmm. You know, they got a good partnership going on. And Funes Mori will not love that, I guess, if he doesn't get those minutes, you know. So it's a tricky situation.
It's a good thing that the Copa MX is coming up. And so you don't have to play Nico Sanchez those minutes because at 34 years old, you want to kind of save him. You play him and, you know, pick and choose where to play him just because, like we've talked about, at 30 years old, or he's already inching towards his mid-30s, or he's already in his mid-30s, but, you know, his legs can go. Once you reach your 30s, they can go like that. There's no warning sign of a player aging. It's just when you're aging. And so Ramiro can provide like that support where, you know, if he's not feeling it or if the opponent is going to run and gun and you think Nico Sanchez might get exposed just because having those slower legs, and then you can just put Funes Mori and Montes, who, you know, when you compare it to Nico, are quite younger. And so it just provides a different look, different options for Monterrey and Turco. You know me, Pat. I'm a big fan of Funes Mori, and I'm hoping that they can bring him over just because we've seen him play for, you know, a big club in Latin America. And I think he played decent in Europe. He had a good stint, or at least a decent stint with Everton. His move to Villarreal hasn't gone as planned when you consider where he is in the depth chart. But if you can bring a player of his caliber, I think they got to do it.
Yeah. In this case, I would, like, if he comes and if I had to choose like who to sit for him to play, I would sit Nico Sanchez. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I don't want to cut off Cesar Montes' moment just because it's too good right now.
And too, Montes is right at fairly unfairly. He has an injury history. I know some of the injuries aren't his fault. I know like the concussion last year. I know there's muscle injuries with him. So it's not just, you know, having someone to spell Nico off some minutes, but Cesar Montes, like I said, fairly unfairly has an injury history, and so it's nice. It's gonna be nice to have some insurance behind Montes, and not having to move Medina from right back playing as a central defender, where that's not his best position. He's better served better left as a right back, and even with an injury or just trying to give someone some rest, the whole back line doesn't get thrown into a shuffle. But let's move on to the soap opera that's been going on this last almost 2 weeks, if you want to say. But Akiloba, Pat, what's your thought on this telenovela that's going on right now?
Yeah, it's a lot going on. There's a lot of, you know, informations and versions of the whole story. You know, I don't know. It's a play that I do want just because I find exciting and all that. It's not the end of the world if we don't get him, but, you know, I do want him. Like, if we're already debating on bringing him or not, I do want him. Now, when everybody's listening to this, it'll be today when he apparently will go to El Barrial. He will go with Monterrey, and that's when they'll announce.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, I'm happy. I'm excited. Like, he's an exciting player. If that's not the case, if for some reason he doesn't come to Monterrey, it's not the end of the world. There's still plenty of time to go in the market if Monterrey really does want him or want somebody else. But they also got to think, you know, in the, like, I don't think they have a plan B apart from Akelova. When I saw, but for Sebastián Vegas, it seems like they had other plans, like, or Funes Mori, Sebastián Vegas, Gaston Silva. You know, there were some names. I guess Akelova case is different. They found, like, an opportunity in the market since his whole thing with Cruz Azul didn't happen, and they went and got it. So if he comes, I'm excited. I don't know. He's an exciting player.
Yeah, no, he is. He's only 21, so his ceiling is still high, and we've seen the type of player he is when he was playing for Querétaro, and he just brings that flair, that I think it's going to be good to have some younger legs up in the attack, because obviously Dorlan Pavón and Aviles Hurtado on the wings, their time is about to pass, and, you know, at 30 years old, or at, not at 30, but 30 plus years old, it's time to inject some youth into the wings positions. And so Akilova does this, and that leads to the Dorlan Pavón rumors to Inter Miami, which I was going to ask, do you believe? What's your, I guess, your confidence level on that rumor that the potential departure of Pavón to your neighborhood of Miami?
Yeah, and I believe it, and it's true. Today, I know from Dorlan's side that today he sat down with Monterrey. He talked to Monterrey. They told him the opportunity of Inter Miami. And then from the Armando Medina's side, I know that Inter Miami will pay his release clause. That's their intention, at least, to pay the release clause of Dorlan Pavón. I don't know the number. And and Monterrey kind of told Dorlan Pavón, hey, it looks like this is going to happen, or they have the intention for this to happen, and it's all going to be a decision for you to make. So at the end of the day, it seems like Dorlan Pavón will make the final decision whether he accepts that and goes to Inter Miami, or he rejects it and he stays in Monterrey. That's, like, the ball is in Dorlan's court.
Yeah. I was just going to follow up on that. What do you want to happen? Because I think he's kind of redeemed himself. I think it's good to leave on a high note. He's had a lot of criticism in the past just because of his, sometimes his style or his form or his inability to show up in big moments sometimes. But as the captain, if he departs, he's leaving on a high note. He's leaving as the captain of a club that A, won the CONCACAF Champions League, and that B, won the league. And I think that's a good way to leave. You end on a high note. People will be praising you, because I know people wanted him gone, and it was more in an angrier tone, but this one is going to be more in a positive tone. It's going to be more friendlier, more nostalgic. But I don't know. Like you said, it's in his court, and it's what he wants to do, if he wants to continue playing in Monterrey or finish up his career potentially playing in Miami.
You know, I do want him to leave. I do want him to leave, not because I don't like him or anything. I think it's his time to go. I think, like you said, if he goes, it'll super be in a high note. Like, everybody will be nostalgic about him leaving. You know, you're a legend, blah, 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 all this. But I do want him to go. I feel like his time is up. I think he's not revolutionizing anything anymore for us. Maybe some guy like Akiloba, 21 years old, will actually give us something different. I feel like he's given us what he does. And you know, it's a good opportunity for him. A nice big contract, designated player, you know, a star of a franchise that's going to be watched all over the world just because it's David Beckham's team. You know, it's a good opportunity for him. It's a win-win situation. A lot of media on his eyes, a lot of money, of course. If I'm him, I take it. But, you know, maybe he's too much in love with Monterrey or whatever. But that's the situation.
Yeah. Plus, you know, he'll be living in Florida. Florida has no state income tax, so he'll be able to keep all of his money or most of his money. I don't know how, you know, Nuevo León's taxes are, but we all know Florida is one of the states in the U.S. that pretty much doesn't, you know, tax you when or tax you any of your money. So he'll be able to keep most, or if not all of it. So that's always a positive. And like you said, he'll be one of the star players on offense for a brand new team that's, you know, looking to make a splash, because right now it looks like only they might have Roger Martinez, and that's it. So he'll be going there a champion, a captain, and he'll be familiar with Diego Alonso. So there's a lot of, I guess, interesting selling points from Miami's perspective. Plus, if Akiloba comes, or whenever it's finalized and he can be announced as a player, it kind of looks that he's going to be taking minutes away from him, because from what I've seen, Loba can play on either side of the wing. I'm not sure which side he prefers the most, but from just, you know, looking up his statistics, he can play on either side of the pitch. So if I'm Dorlan Pavón and Monterrey already has like a replacement in place, I would just be considering that and saying, you know what, I'm going to pursue greener pastures somewhere else. So we'll just leave that at there. But one more rumor that we got to talk about, and this is the only non-central defender that's also been talked about, but you have Zenit's Matias, what is it? How do you pronounce his last name? Kraneviter. But yeah, that one that came up, there's not a lot of news on that front, but it was from TYC Sports too. Like that one has a credible report behind it. It said that Monterrey had opened up negotiations with him because it doesn't look like he wants to stay in Russia anymore. So he's looking, he's looking for a way out. He's also been linked to Inter Miami. So it'll be interesting what happens there, but yeah, just give me over your overall opinion on that rumor.
So he was actually in Miami. He actually talked in person with the people from Inter Miami. I know that. And then while Turco was in Argentina and he was with TYC Sports, before the show he was on, they were, you know, putting images of Turco in their offices and their studios and all that. And the reporter that was talking over that said, by the way, Turco Mohamed and Monterrey are interested in Matias Kraneviter. It seems like Turco, you know, being there, told him, hey, yeah, Matias Kraneviter, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, we're interested in him. And a producer for TYC Sports tweeted it out. So that's where that came from. So it is real that Monterrey is interested. I don't know if they actually did anything else apart from that. But what I do know is that he actually did come to Miami to speak to them in person. So, I mean, he will be a huge, huge, huge signing, I think.
Yeah, no, and too, it would kind of, I guess, solidify. I don't know if solidify is the right word, but it would kind of put a mental note that maybe Charlie Rodriguez isn't long from Monterrey, that probably in the summer, that whichever European team comes calling, that Monterrey will more than likely oblige and sell him to them. So that's what I took. But like you said, I have not seen or read anything new on that. But when I saw it, it was being reported by TYC Sports, I knew that there is some smoke there, and it looks like there is. But we'll see if Monterrey decides to pursue any further, because one of the interesting points that people are not interesting, but more of the discussion points that people are talking about is just the foreigners, the amount of foreigners on this team. And I'm not sure who tweeted this out, but I think it was Santiago Forcade. I'm not sure who it was. I hate to just speculate like this, but you know, I'm not sure who it was, but they tweeted out that a lot of foreigners are going to be departing the club by the end of the summer, or by the start of the summer, I should say. You have Vangioni, whose contract is up. You have Barovero. You have Basanta. Aviles is a little tricky. I don't think he's going to be leaving this summer, but by the end of this year, he's no longer going to be playing with Monterrey. That's a fact, or that's, you know, a safe bet. I'm not sure who else's contract is up, or who else am I missing at the top of my head, but I know for a fact those are going to be gone. I'm not sure if Urrutia Vizcaya still counts as a foreigner player, even though he's not with the club, but technically he's still a part of the club just because he's on loan. So I'm not sure how that works, but he's going to be gone either way. His foreigner spot's going to be gone. So there's like four or five foreigners that are going to be gone. So I think Rayados should be good with that, you know, new rule that Liga MX is going to be having, or that I think it's going to start this Apertura.
Yeah, I saw some names too. You know, I think some real possibilities that could happen, you know, Funes Mori, Celso Ortiz, Stefan Medina. Like, I'm not saying there's any rumors, there's anything on that, but it's just real possibilities. I mean, they're great players that have a lot of still playing time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's obviously interested in them. Somebody will obviously put some money for them. I'm pretty sure of that. You know, you have Funes Mori, Celso Ortiz, Vangioni, Nico Sanchez maybe is like, you know, I want to go back to Argentina. I don't know. There's a lot of guys high on age, and a lot of guys that are also, you know, potential to go to Europe. I feel like Celso Ortiz can definitely go back. I feel like Stefan Medina can definitely go over there. Funes Mori can definitely go over there. You know, you never know what happens with Vincent Janssen. Maybe he does another great season and a European team is like, you know what, I don't know, you know, a lot of things can happen. So
mm-hmm.
The summer, there can be a lot of movements. There's obviously just speculation right now of what could happen. But yeah, I mean, as of right now, at least Aviles, Basanta, and Urrutia Vizcaya Basanta, I don't think will play much. Aviles obviously is not, and Urrutia Vizcaya, of course, is not. I don't know the exact number of foreigners, and depends on who comes and all that, but yeah, there's a lot, and in the summer there's definitely going to be some sort of cleaning on that end.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, like you said, there's some players might want to take another chance at Europe, or get at least one chance at Europe, but I think there's going to be a lot of moving parts just because players' contracts are going to be up. I know that for a fact. Right? We named at least five people that can be, or not going to be. They're going to be gone unless, you know, Monterrey offers a contract extension. And then out of the five, I think the only one that might get a contract extension or a contract offer is Vangioni. But even then, I think he's 32, 33. I don't know if, I'm not sure if they want to give him that, or they want to, you know, provide someone else with an opportunity at the left back, a younger player. So we'll see what they do there. But there's a lot of moving parts in the foreigner spots. But I think that's gonna about cover all the now transfer rumors that have been going on the last week or so. Anybody else, Pat, that I think we might have missed?
I can't think of any names right now. I think we pretty much covered it, but yeah. Of course it's ever-changing world, especially with Twitter. You know, there's a lot of names that come up.
Yeah, and then the window doesn't close to the end of January, so there's like at least 2.5 more weeks of this, so we'll see. But I'm not sure if we talked about this on the last podcast, but the Pizarro to Chicago Fire. I don't want to talk about the rumor. I just want to talk more about the about making sure people follow up on who's reporting what, because a lot of people are getting caught up on. I know it's easy to get caught up on transfer rumors, and it's fun. Trust me, it's nice to just read stuff like that and just have that as a discussion point. But sometimes you got to look at who's reporting what, or what people are sourcing, and have to use common sense whether or not to believe a rumor. And I think that sums up perfectly that Pizarro to Chicago Fire rumor, because I didn't see anybody a reputable that I follow that, you know, reports on Rayados, like Santiago Furcade and Diego Armando Medina. None of those guys were reporting that, you know, that was an offer from Chicago. And then I look at the amount of money that was, you know, quote unquote reported that they were offering, and it was like what, $12 million US. And yeah, it's just sometimes you got to look at who's reporting what, and it's easy to call BS or at least smell it. So I don't know about you, Pat. I think people just need to be more aware of who's reporting what.
Yeah, of course. I think, especially in transfer season, people don't really care where its sources come from. They don't really know really who knows and who doesn't, you know. At the end of the day, anybody can put anything out there. But of course, as time goes on, some people earn a reputation and all that. And then you can know, okay, this guy normally gets them right. This guy normally fails in this sense.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that put it, you know, is the jefe de información. I don't know how to say it in English. From a website called Esto. I mean, they're known website. Not like they're, you know, the leading source of mm-hmm. anything, you know. But, you know, that's the guy that put it. I mean,
yeah.
Whether it's true or not, I don't know. He knows where he got stuff from. I don't believe it. But that's...
The thing is that it's sad is that I'm pretty sure that's the MLS. I got to double check, but that's the MLS page that reports like on stories, if I'm not mistaken. I gotta go back and look.
No, the MLS page, what they do, and because they've put stories on based on tweets that I put. Like, they just get every single rumor and they just put it in a story.
That's not good. That's not good. That's what we like to call in English just trying to get clicks. Trying to get those clicks from people to fall for BS rumors that aren't going to happen. And I mean, if you follow Monterrey, you kind of already know that if they were going to sell Pizarro within like North America, it wouldn't be for $12 million. It would be for, I think at the minimum, they're going to try to get back what they paid for, which is like, $15 million US. And then they'll try to make a profit a little bit, maybe add on $3-4 million, which probably lead up to $18-20 million at the least. So yeah, I don't know. I know Chicago has some new owners that want to make a splash, but I think this is where people who follow Mexican soccer or who don't follow Monterrey know that the owners who own Monterrey or the group that owns Monterrey, they don't need the cash. They're one of the wealthiest clubs in Mexico. So, they're not a team that's needing the cash. And so, yeah, to me, it's not talking about that rumor. It's just more, just look at who's reporting what. I mean, we already know who reports semi-accurately on Monterrey, and we know who doesn't, or if it's someone we don't really know, then you got to proceed with caution. But not all the time the people we know and follow are going to hit on the news. I know Diego Armando Medina was reporting that it's going to be done, with Aki Loba, but it's still not done. It's still it's taken longer than when he said it's done. It's a done deal, but it looks like it's going to be a done deal. But I just want to say sometimes even the people we trust aren't going to be accurate with this type of news. Sometimes they're going to miss, and that's okay as long as they keep hitting more often than they're missing, they'll be good. But if they keep missing, then that's when it becomes worrisome. But yeah, don't try to burn journalists for being wrong once. If they're wrong, you know, once in a while, then nobody's gonna bat 1,000. But if they're wrong continuously and they're just putting out BS, then that's when you know they shouldn't believe them. And you should always mention it to people who don't follow either that club or that league and say, hey, this person isn't very reliable, so proceed with caution. So that's why when people ask me any news on the Pizarro stuff, I was like, I've not seen anybody that I trust report anything. So, you know, I think it's false. But yeah, no, I just wanted to get your opinions just on that. Just making sure, you know, when you see certain rumors, just to do your due diligence.
Yeah, also, I saw Santi Furcade put in respond to you saying false. So probably he knows something else. That's false. That's just false. The Pizarro to Chicago Fire. Yeah, it just seems like a weird one.
Yeah, that one was weird. But let's wrap this up, Pat. What's your expectation for this season? Or not this season, just this game coming up against Morelia. Morelia did lose to Toluca this past week. And so right now, I saw that game. I saw probably the first half before I switched over to Santos Cholos, which is a more entertaining game. But I don't know. Morelia, offensively, they don't scare me. And Toluca, they missed a lot of chances to begin the match. But to me, I think Monterrey should win easily, like 2-0, 3-0. It should be, I don't think it's going to be a close game for my opinion.
Yeah, it should be one of those. It should be one of those. Hopefully it is to start the season off right. Morelia lost Edison Flores.
Oh, and, yeah.
And, you know, he was definitely an important guy there. And, yeah, I'm not too worried about that one. I think it'll definitely be a good, you know, homecoming, start again, another season for Monterrey, I think.
Do you think they'll go with the two strikers? Because I know, like, that's what we're waiting for. We heard Turco talk about it. You've mentioned it too, that he likes going with two strikers. I think I'll just ask, at what point in the season would you think he'll go with the two strikers?
That's a good question. Let's think about also, like, we have Morelia the 18th. We have Celaya the 22nd. We have Pumas the 26th. We have Celaya the 29th. Then we have Monterrey Querétaro the 1st of February. Then we have Necaxa the 5th. Like, there's zero time to rest. Zero time to try something new. Because after that one, after Necaxa the 5th, we have León the 8th. Like, this first month is going to be absolutely packed. I feel like he's going to want to have his, you know, a lot of players rested just for all of that. So I don't think he'll go with two strikers for this month. Then after that, we play León the 8th of February. Then the next game is the 15th. Then the next game is the 22nd. So there's more time there. I think there, either against León or against Juarez, that's when he'll go for that two forward line.
Yeah, I forgot that they're playing Celaya like next week, and so it's just like four games in 2 weeks. So I think he'll probably want to rotate Funes Mori and Jansen at that striker position, keep them fresh and not overwork any one of those or any of those two. So yeah, I think he'll probably be maybe towards February that maybe he'll try to tinker with the starting 11 and maybe include two strikers. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap it up. Anything else you want to add, Pat?
Not really. Just really looking forward for this whole thing to start once again. Hopefully, by the time everybody's hearing this, we're already signed Akilova. But I really do hope they just don't stop there. We do need that central defender. And at this point, I'm just like, bring somebody in.
Yeah, I'm just waiting because
whatever you want.
Yeah, everybody's already more than likely done bringing their reinforcements, and we've yet to make a move, even though we know the weaknesses on the club. So it's still going to be interesting to see. I think I want to see if Dorlan Pavon plays on Saturday. If he doesn't, that's like a little flag to say, hey, you know what? Maybe he is considering Miami. So I think that will bring up some news. I know Sebastian Vegas, he didn't play on Friday, and many people were like, okay, he's going to go to Monterrey. But then, like we said, before we started this podcast, like a few minutes before we started recording, he tweeted out that, you know, he's home, whatever, that you know, just to paraphrase, he's not leaving Morelia, so he's going to stay there. So it'll just, you know, be an interesting, I guess, not I think I'll just say a situation if Pavon doesn't play on Saturday. But yeah, Pat, want to plug in your Twitter account and anything else that you want to add?
Yeah, follow at Tsunami Picks. Also, just to add as an update, as we're ending this episode, Diego Armando Medina just talked about the Sebastian Vegas tweet. He said that he preferred to stay in Morelia with a assured, you know, starting spot instead of fighting for a spot in Monterrey, but also in America, who also had an offer for him. And just wanted to point that out, but
and that's something we talked about too, like if he were to come on Monterrey at the left back position, you know, he'll have to battle it out with Bangioni, and obviously in the center back he'll have to fight Montes and Nico Sanchez for playing time. So we were on that reasoning, and it kind of confirms what we were talking about. I don't think I've set this our Twitter account to our podcast passed over 3,000 followers, and so appreciate everyone that listens, that follows. This Saturday the gifts will be back, so if you're new to following our account and listening to the podcast, every match day we have gifts, or I do the gifts, so be on the lookout for that. And yeah, let's just get this underway. Another new season. We have two Monterrey matches like in a span of like 4 days with Celaya. So a lot of content for Monterrey. So yeah, we'll be on it, and we'll see what transpires this transfer window, and see who comes and who goes. And we'll just be here to talk about it. So for Patrick, I'm Eddie. We'll talk to you soon.